This episode is brought to you by VPP Simplified. Now you can get element-by-element tracking and guidance for your VPP journey. Every aspect of the VPP requirements in one easy-to-use interactive spreadsheet. Achieving VPP star status can be tough, but understanding what it takes to get there can be simplified. Go to vppsimplified.com for more information.
Welcome to the Safety Pro Podcast, where we help you manage workplace safety one episode at a time. And now, your very own safety pro, Blaine J. Hoffman.
Welcome to another episode of the Safety Pro Podcast. In this episode, I want to cover something that we don't cover a whole lot on the podcast, and it kind of touches on industrial hygiene a little bit, some indoor air quality, and environmental controls, and that is the topic of mold in the workplace. Now, specifically, I want to highlight a tool you can use. So it's not going to be, you know, what is mold and how bad is it for the work environment sort of awareness episode. I'm going to cover some of that, but specifically the dampness and mold assessment tool that NIOSH has available for you to use to actually assess your structure. It's construction, it's public buildings, schools, it's factories, office places. It doesn't matter. You can, you know, assess your facilities for dampness and mold. So just for a little background, you know, the health of those who live, attend school, work in damp buildings, you know, it's been a growing concern through the years due to, you know, a broad range of reported building-related symptoms and illnesses. And not to date myself, but you know, way back when I was going to school, safety stuff, right? We called it sick building syndrome. You know, it was blamed in part by the energy crisis. You know, buildings were being made so tight to conserve energy coming out of the late 70s, early 80s, that you ended up trapping contaminants inside the buildings and offices. It was a big deal. I remember hearing news stories every so often where they would have to condemn a building or shut it down for a while so they can remediate it. But, you know, yeah, that's what it was called, sick building syndrome. And essentially, that's all it was. It was, you know, stuff getting trapped inside. You weren't able to evacuate and turn over that air. That exchange rate wasn't there in the environment that you needed to keep it safe. Furthermore, you know, research has found that people who spend time in damp buildings, they're more likely to report health problems such as respiratory symptoms like in the nose, throat, and lungs, develop or worsening their asthma, hypersensitivity, and continuously inhaling sensitizing substances like bacteria, fungi, organic dusts, and chemicals, things that could be trapped or present in an environment like this. You could even get respiratory infections, allergic rhinitis, called hay fever is what folks call it. If you ever notice that when you go to work, you all of a sudden you start sneezing, itchy eyes, you start nose starts to run, but you know when you leave work it clears up. There might be something going on. You might want to look into that. Bronchitis, eczema. I mean, the list goes on. These ailments, essentially, they increase in reporting with workers that work in damp buildings. Now, exposures in damp buildings can be complex. They can vary from building to building and in different places within the same building. Moisture essentially allows indoor mold to multiply more easily on building materials or even other surfaces, okay? And the people inside the buildings, they may be exposed to those microbes and their structural components. I don't want to get too, you know, technical on you, but spores and fungal fragments that become airborne, they get disturbed, either kicked up from, you know, an air handler kicking on or just from daily work and walking around the office or the building, kicking up these things into the air. You can breathe those in. And boom, that's what your body's reacting to, or they actually can cause an ailment. Moisture can also attract other things people don't consider. Cockroaches, rodents, even dust mites. So cockroaches are a good example, even dust mites. Did you know that Some people are allergic to the protein, even if you handled cockroaches. I don't know who's handling cockroaches, but they leave behind things. That's what triggers your allergic reaction. So it may not even be the mold or the moisture or the dampness itself. It's a byproduct of what it attracts that could be getting you sick. And of course, dust mites. We all know dust mites can cause a severe allergic reaction as well. So moisture-damaged building materials can release volatile organic compounds that can cause health problems. You know, all kinds of crazy stuff can happen once you allow moisture to penetrate building materials and room contents like furniture, books, files, and things like that. Now, researchers have not found exactly how much exposure to dampness-related substances that it actually takes to cause health problems. I think it's difficult because, you know, one, everybody reacts differently. You can't really predict how one person's going to react to something versus another. You know, hence why some of us are not allergic to cats and dogs and others are, and then those who are have varying degrees of allergic reaction. You can't really predict. So that's why researchers haven't found, okay, this amount of mold or dampness is going to trigger a problem. Therefore, NIOSH developed a tool to help us assess areas of dampness in buildings and to help prioritize the remediation of problem areas. Now, just keep in mind, NIOSH uses the term mold, using air quotes here, to refer to fungi in the indoor environment. Basically, the assessment cycle that you want to work through is a four-step process. One is assess. Use the dampness and mold assessment tool in all rooms and areas of your building. Number two, identify. Determine the sources of dampness or mold that you identified in step one by further investigating where the moisture is coming from. And number three, repair and remediate. Facility staff or trained professionals should repair all identified sources of dampness and mold and remediate damaged areas following proper guidelines. And in some states, you may have to get a special certification, especially if lead paint or certain building materials are involved. So keep that in mind as far as number three, repair and remediate goes. And number four, repeat. Schedule regular building assessments to prevent new or worsening problems. And then repeat step one on some sort of cadence or rhythm, like annually. All right, so let's go through some basic instructions on how to go through this DMAT. Dampness mold assessment tool. It's kind of catchy. I like that. And you know, safety people, we love acronyms. So you use this tool, you'll download the tool. There will be a link in the show notes, and you will complete some general information at the top of the form, like the date, your name, the building, what floor number you're on, all that good stuff. And then the room or area type. It's important to keep the room or area titles standardized. For example, rooms with more than one title, like bathroom, washroom, men's and women's facilities, should be referred to as the same title each time an assessment is conducted. This is going to help with data consistency, okay? Here's an example where it says, describe below the type of room or area you are assessing. You could write, room 2027 is the office directly across from the staff kitchen on the second floor. Next, mold odor. This is important. If you know or suspect mold could be present, you may have to wear a respirator. And I would defer you to the respiratory protection program that you should have or establish. Or if it's, nothing is confirmed that you have an exposure to mold or some other airborne contaminant at or above any established permissible exposure limit or levels, then you would follow the nuisance dust mask exemption from the respiratory protection standard. And, we'll do a podcast episode on that entire program as well. But for this, just keep in mind, you may have to wear, something to prevent the spores from you breathing any dust or anything you disturb when you do your assessment. But if you detect a mold odor, you have to assess it. Be sure to smell for the odor when you first walk into each room or area. Determine subjectively whether a smell is mild, moderate, or strong, and identify as much as you can, identify the source. An example is they have a range here on the chart. Is none for odor, by the way. None, mild, moderate, strong, and then describe the source of mold odor. And in this case, they mark moderate, and the source of mold odor is flooring. If you can't determine the source, just there's a little circle that you can fill in that says unknown. And then you want to list all room components, okay? Now, it's a checklist. It's printed on this form, on this tool. And three of them are already checked for you. And that is the ceiling, walls, and floor, because every room or building, for the most part, has ceiling, walls, and floor. If it's missing any of those, I would argue it's not really a building, but it's going to have, you know, components of those three, right? So those are checked off. But some other things you're going to want to check are windows, furnishings. Oh, by the way, windows, that includes external and internal windows, and it includes skylights. Don't forget to look up. Furnishings include furniture, sinks, toilets, printers, copiers, anything the room is furnished with, okay? And HVAC systems, that includes all systems used to heat and cool the room or area, including unit ventilators, radiators, forced air systems, window units and fans, things of that nature. You have supplies and materials, that's books, paper, boxes, even like gym equipment, kitchen supplies, you know, things like that. Those are just literally supplies and material. And then you have a checkbox for pipes. That includes any exposed pipes in the room. It's important because they could be leaking. I would even go one step further. You may have covered pipes in the room that you're not aware of. So you're going to want to be familiar with sort of the building schematics, the infrastructure, utilities that are running in and around the building, even under the floor. If you've got a very strong mold odor and dampness type of smell, and you cannot identify the source, and you go through this checklist, and I get down to pipes, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call facilities maintenance, or I'm going to try to figure out if there is a pipe or drain or something running through any of the walls or under the floor that I'm not aware of. So pipes aren't just exposed pipes. Okay. So you're going to want to look closely at all the components that are identified in a room for any damage, mold, wetness, not just current, but past, okay? And then you're going to, once you identify all the components identified in the room, once you check those boxes, you're going to want to check another box right after that if nothing was found, okay? No damage, mold, wetness that was found on like the floor, the furnishings, supplies, materials, or evidence of past damage. So then if you do find any damage or, you know, signs of past damage, you're going to want to assess it and score it. And this is where this tool comes in handy. There are three different columns for, you know, damage types that are used in this assessment. So number one is damage or stains. This refers to any water-related damage or stains identified per the component that you're looking at. So this can include peeling paint, rust, warping, deteriorated or crumbling building materials like drywall, things like that. Stains could include discoloration caused by possible water leaks, flooding, or even just condensation. That was number one. Number two is visible mold. Note if you see visible mold growth or suspected mold growth. If you're not sure, you want to check it, then you can investigate it. Here in a minute, but mold can include patches or spots that are colored differently than the underlying material, typically gray, brown, or even black. Mold can appear fuzzy and can have a musty or earthy odor. And number three, you're going to want to look to see if it's wet or damp. Note any areas of wetness or dampness that are visible. Wet or damp conditions could include any visible signs of moisture, like, you know, water beads, standing water, or condensation, humidity, water leaks, or flooding. Also, if a material is soft when it's not supposed to be, like drywall. So, scoring these, it's based on the size of all of the affected areas combined. Individual sizes of each affected area are added together to obtain a combined size. Now, I'm going to go through some scoring examples. It's on a scale of 0 to 3. 0, no problem areas were identified. A score of 1 means the combined area of damage is the size of a standard sheet of paper or smaller. A score of 2, the combined area of damage is greater than a standard sheet of paper. That's 8.5 by 11, by the way. But it's less than the size of a standard interior door. That's a 32 by 80 door. So that would give you a score of 2 on this assessment. And a score of 3 is the combined area of damage is greater than the size of a standard interior door. Again, 32 by 80. That gives you a score of 3. So you score each component by filling in the appropriate assessment score in the damage or stains, visible mold, or wet or damp columns. So you go across those columns and you put a score down. Look, they can be subjective, so you really have to be consistent in the way you observe the conditions and then score each assessment. So a score of 3 for damage or stains, visible mold, or wet or damp, you know, areas, that should trigger an immediate attention to identify problem sources and to remediate them. And likewise, a score of, you know, 3 for mold odor should also trigger attention to identify areas of hidden mold. And I mentioned pipes and things that are behind walls and under floors. Scores should also be used for comparison of room or areas over time to see if remediation works or if the problem gets worse. So what happens is if you identify something hitting on damage or stains, visible mold, wet or dampness, if you have a score other than 0 on any of those and you go ahead and initiate remediation, when you do your reeval, you know, 6 months or a year later, you're going to want to compare the score you give it then to the one you did before to see if, you know, remediation actually worked. So there's also some other stuff on this assessment tool. There are things like component and assessment notes. Component notes includes information on the materials or location affected, like ceiling tile, sheetrock, metal, concrete, wood, things like that. And then assessment notes, it's you can actually check off things like the paint was peeling, there was rust, or other. You could put your own notes in there as well. So the assessment tool is pretty cool. It actually gives you the ability to document on a somewhat of a graded scale that, you know, what you notice for damage, stains, visible mold, wet or dampness, odor, things like that, and document the actual materials that are in the room. And then going forward, you can compare sort of your previous assessment to any future assessments, especially after remediation took place. Now, where it gets subjective is I know an individual and he tells me all the time that, you know, he's worked with chemicals his whole life, his whole career. And again, this is not a good thing. This was rather alarming, but he says he can't smell anything anymore. So you gotta consider the source, if you will, of the assessment. So that's where it gets subjective and you gotta be careful with that. You know, I'm very sensitive to things. I can smell stuff. I know workers and employees in manufacturing shops, I used to get complaints all the time, like, I smell something funny, and they'll put in a safety concern, and, you know, they'll go ahead and call you out, and you have to go and investigate. But essentially, you have to keep that in mind. You have to consider who's doing the assessment and be able to take that into consideration, okay? The cool thing about the NIOSH tool is there are examples and photos of what they're talking about, types of damage, size of the damage that would trigger a score of 3 versus a 2 and a 1. It's really good. I would encourage you to download this. Make this dampness and mold assessment tool a part of your annual inspection of your facilities. It's something we don't think a lot about, you know? And so being able to do this, and you know, if you're on the digital bandwagon, and I hope you are, you got to join us, okay? You should be automating some of this and digitizing some of this. And what I mean by that is you want to look for a digital solution that helps you store and trend and chart these things. So if you're using something like iReportSource to do inspections and checklists, you know, this could be an option to create a, you know, dampness and mold assessment tool checklist in something like iReport. And if you're interested in learning more about them, it's iReportSource.com, and, you know, go check them out. But essentially, this makes it easier for you to compare over time some of your past scores. You can see them. You can pull them up and look at them real quickly. And others can as well, especially others at different locations. If you have to do it on, you know, your assessment on one building, and somebody else has to do it on another couple of buildings, and you're, you know, managing safety or have to oversee sort of the results of this, you know, they all go into one spot. You could see them in real time right away. And, you know, you should be digitizing this and automating these and creating these workflows. So look, I wanted to cover this DMAT tool. I thought it was pretty cool. I like how they laid it out. I can easily see how this can be incorporated into a, you know, an EHS, a digital EHS checklist. I encourage you to check the show notes and click on the links. Download your own copy of the Dampness and Mold Assessment Tool. It's NIOSH and CDC, by the way. Learn more about it by going to their page for this topic. And let me know what you think. Have you had any experience with, you know, mold and indoor air quality in the past? And, you know, what did you do to assess that? How did you assess it and determine that it was a problem and get it remediated? Just shoot me an email. The link is also in the show notes. You can also find me on LinkedIn. I encourage you to reach out and connect. I've gotten, I'm not kidding, over the last couple of weeks, it's well over 100, I believe, just shy of 110 request, LinkedIn requests. That's good. I just started doing call out to reach out to me on LinkedIn the last two episodes. So it's only been a couple of weeks, but I'm encouraged by the response. I love connecting with people on LinkedIn. I've talked to many of you via email as well. And even on the phone, I just got off with a listener on the phone. He's working on changing the workplace safety culture in his facility. And we were sharing some notes. Look, you know, we learn from each other. We need to collaborate and support each other. I'm going to learn from you, and you might learn something from me as well. So don't be afraid to shoot me an email, ask me a question, ask if I've ever had to deal with this, that, or the other, or if I have any templates or tools. You know, I'm here for you as a resource. That's what the podcast is all about. I'm dedicated to that. I'm not going to steer away from that mission that I have of giving you real, actionable information that you can use right now to help keep your employees safe. Literally, it's helping you manage safety one podcast episode at a time. So that's my thing. I'm going to keep doing it. And I look forward to hearing back from you. And again, don't forget, find me on LinkedIn. And until the next Safety Pro podcast episode, as always, be safe.